First Sunday after Christmas, see. First post to December 27th, 2009. Jeremiah 31 10 13 Return and Restoration. Psalm 111 God's Redemption. Hebrews 2 10 18 Freed from Sin and Death. Luke 2 41 52 Jesus Youth. Jeremiah Background. Jeremiah was a prophet to Judah and Jerusalem from 627 to 580 BC. The period leading up to and during the beginning of the exile of Judah to Babylon, generally calculated from the destruction of the temple in Jerusalem in 587 to its restoration and dedication in 517 BC. Jeremiah, hear God's word, all nations and distant shores. Israel, whom the Lord scattered, will be gathered again by the Lord. As a shepherd keeps his flocks, the Lord will keep Israel. The Lord has ransomed Jacob, and redeemed him from powers greater than he. Israel shall sing aloud to the Lord on Zion, the temple mount in Jerusalem, and rejoice in the goodness of the Lord. They will celebrate over the harvest of grain, wine, olive oil, and the young of their flocks and herds. They will languish no longer. Their life will be restored, like a watered garden. Their young girls will dance in joy, the men, both young and old, will be merry. The Lord promises to comfort them, and transform their mourning to joy, and exchange their sorrow for gladness. Psalm 111. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! With my whole heart I will praise the Lord, in the congregation of His people. The works of the Lord are awesome. Those who delight in them will study them. His works are full of honor and majesty. He has caused His works to be remembered, for the Lord is gracious and merciful. For those who fear Him, He provides food. He constantly remembers His covenant. He has revealed His power to His people, giving them the inheritance of the nations. He is faithful and just in all His doings. All His teachings are trustworthy and eternally true. Hebrews, in accord with the gracious nature of God, who has created all things for His purpose, it was appropriate that in His plan to bring many sons and daughters to glory, to spiritual maturity and eternal life, to the joy of heaven, to make the pioneer author, trailblazer of salvation, i.e. Jesus, perfect through suffering. The sanctifier Jesus Christ and the sanctified, born-again disciples, both originate from God, so Jesus is not ashamed to call them brethren, as God's word says in Psalm 22:22. I will declare thy name to my brethren, in the midst of the congregation I will praise thee. Jesus fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 8:17-18, of trusting in God's word, and receiving the children of God as his brethren. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil Satan, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. Hebrews 2:14-15. Jesus' mission was not to angels, but to the descendants of Abraham. Jesus had to become like them in every aspect, so that he could become a merciful and faithful high priest serving God, to make amends for our sins. Because Jesus has experienced suffering and temptation just as we do, he is able to understand and help us when we are tempted. Luke, Jesus' parents went from Nazareth to Jerusalem every year to celebrate Passover. When Jesus was 12, they went, according to their custom. At the end of the celebration, they began their trip home, but Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. Jesus' parents were not aware that he had stayed behind. They thought he was with friends or relatives in their caravan. At the end of the day's journey, they looked for Jesus and discovered that he was missing, so Jesus' parents hurried back to Jerusalem. After 3 days of anxious searching, they found Jesus in the temple, sitting among teachers and listening, and asking questions. Everyone who heard Jesus was amazed at his understanding and his replies. When Jesus' parents saw him, they were amazed, and his mother asked Jesus why he had worried them so. Jesus asked his parents why they hadn't looked for him in his father's house, the temple, first. His parents didn't understand what Jesus was saying to them. Jesus returned with them to Nazareth and was obedient to them. His mother remembered things like this about Jesus, and Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Luke 2:52. Commentary. Judah, the southern kingdom of the two tribes, was the remnant of Israel after the destruction of the northern kingdom of the ten tribes by the Assyrians in 721 BC. The northern kingdom had disobeyed God's warning by his prophets to repent and turn from disobedience and idolatry. Judah had not learned from the example of the northern kingdom and did not heed the warnings of the prophets to repent and return to obedient trust in God's word. Jeremiah prophesied that Judah would be exiled in Babylon for 70 years, Jeremiah 25:11-12, and God's word was fulfilled. Israel had been scattered, but the Lord promised to gather them again and be their shepherd, Jeremiah 3:1-10c. God's promise was amazingly fulfilled when Cyrus of Persia conquered Babylon and allowed the Jews to return to their promised land. Cyrus gave them the sacred vessels of silver, gold and bronze, which Nebuchadnezzar had looted from the temple. Cyrus also gave permission, money and help in the rebuilding of the temple. God's word is eternal and is fulfilled over and over as the conditions for its fulfillment are met. The prophecy of a shepherd to gather God's people is ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, John 10:11-15. The Lord. Israel had forgotten the lessons of the exile and was unprepared for the coming of the long-awaited Messiah. At the crucifixion of Jesus, the people of God were effectively scattered. Even the 12 disciples were scattered, Matthew 26:31, John 16:32. Jesus was the one last faithful remnant of Israel. From then on, the church became the new Israel, the new people of God. The disciples who had scattered began to be drawn back by the news of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus appeared to them and told them to remain in Jerusalem until they had received the baptism gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, Luke 24:49, Acts 1:4-5-8, and then they were to go into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, teaching them to obey all Jesus' teachings, Matthew 28:19-20. The baptism of the Holy Spirit began to be poured out on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, Acts 2:1-13. Those who look into the record of God's great works in the Bible will delight in them. Jesus is the fulfillment, embodiment and example of God's word, John 1:15-14. Jesus is the ultimate revelation of God's power and faithfulness to the world. The baptism of indwelling Holy Spirit, which only Jesus gives, John 1:31-34, only to his disciples who trust and obey Jesus, John 14:15-17, is God's ultimate revelation of himself personally and individually to the disciples of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is the seal and guarantee that one is in Christ and has eternal life, 2 Corinthians 1:22, Ephesians 1:13-14, Romans 8:9b-1:15-16. Jesus' word is the word of God, John 14:10-24, with the creative force of God's word, Mark 4:39-41, Genesis 1:3-9. Those who trust and obey Jesus come to know and testify that his teachings are trustworthy and eternally true. God has created this world according to his purpose. God has always intended to establish an eternal kingdom of his people who willingly choose to trust and obey God. This present world is God's spiritual garden where he is growing sons and daughters for his eternal kingdom. Jesus has been designed into this creation from the very beginning, John 1:15-14. God designed this creation to allow for the possibility of sin, disobedience of God's word, so that we could have freedom to choose whether or not to obey God. He knew that we would all choose to do our own will rather than his, and would need to learn by trial and error to trust and obey God's word. We are all sinners who have fallen short of God's righteousness, Romans 3:23, 1 John 1:8-10, and the penalty for sin is eternal death, Romans 6:23. Jesus is God's one and only provision for our forgiveness and salvation from eternal condemnation, Romans 5:8, John 3:16-17, Acts 4:12. See God's plan of salvation, sidebar, top right. We are all born physically alive, but spiritually unborn. This lifetime is our only opportunity to be spiritually born again, to eternal life. Jesus' resurrection from the dead demonstrates that there is existence beyond physical death. Every truly born again Christian personally experiences and testifies that Jesus is risen and eternally alive. Because we know that Jesus lives, we can know with certainty that we will rise from physical death to eternal life, to Romans 8:11. The joy of the Lord's presence, now by the indwelling Holy Spirit, is just a foretaste of the joy we will have with Him in eternity. Jesus was fully human, and also fully God. Colossians 2:8-9. John 20:28. He is the only begotten. Matthew 1:20. Luke 1:34-35. Son, the firstborn, with the birthright that goes with it. We become adopted sons and daughters through the indwelling Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14-16. Because He shared in every aspect our human nature, He understands our temptations and is able to help us resist and overcome them. Jesus teaches by both word and example. Jesus taught His disciples to seek God's kingdom and righteousness first, ahead of physical necessities. Those who seek physical needs first will never get around to seeking God's kingdom, because we can never get enough physical resources to feel satisfied. Jesus respected His physical parents, but He put God, His Heavenly Father, first. His parents should have realized that the only reason Jesus would stay behind in Jerusalem would be to study God's word and seek God's kingdom. Is Jesus your Lord? Are you Jesus' disciple? Are you trusting and obeying Jesus? Have you received the indwelling Holy Spirit since you first truly believed Acts 1:9-2? Are you making disciples of Jesus Christ and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commands? Matthew 28:18-20. Do you know with certainty where you will spend eternity? 1 John 5:11-13. Ephesians 1:13-14.